Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Most colleges are making efforts to increase the diversity of their student body. One look at the populations of South Dakota's state institutions shows a pretty glaring discrepancy in college enrollment for one of the state's largest demographics. South Dakota State University is working to change that with its campus-wide Wokini Initiative. SDPB's Jackie Hendry is here in the SDPB Sioux Falls studio for our first in a series of conversations about that effort. Jackie Hendry, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
All right, let's start with where we stand right now when it comes to the demographic breakdown of state universities.
Right. So if you look between the U.S. Census information about South Dakota as a whole compared to data that we have from the Board of Regents institutions about our state schools, you notice a few things right off the bat. First off, perhaps surprising no one, South Dakota is a predominantly white state. So about 84% of our state population is white compared to 82% of our state college students enrolled are white. Second thing you notice, most other racial demographics are pretty closely represented between statewide and college populations, generally within a percent. So, for example, our Hispanic Latino population is 3.8% of the state versus 3.5% of Board of Regents institutions. Black and African American students are 2.4% of college population versus 2.1% of state population, so that is even slightly higher. The third thing you notice is the only demographic where that isn't the case is with Native Americans. Native Americans account for 9% of the state population, but only 1.6% of students in Board of Regents institutions.
All right, one more time. 9% of the state population, 1.6% of student population.
That's right.
Why is that?
That's the big question, right? And it's a very complex issue with a lot of overlapping factors. You've got issues of affordability and even to just geographic distance. Most Board of Regents schools are pretty far removed from most reservation communities, for instance, and that can make adjusting to be away from family all the more difficult, and that can also impact your retention rates.
All right, so do those retention rates for Native students fare any better?
Not so much. Mm-hmm. Board of Regents data shows degree attainment within 6 years of starting your degree. For white students, that's about 54% finish their degree within 6 years. For Native American students, that's 25%.
Wow, so that means a 75% dropout rate, essentially.
Essentially, yes.
Okay. Wow. What's the role of the state universities in this, then?
That can range from recruitment strategies, but also just active retention efforts. So, and this varies across Board of Regents institutions. We have efforts here and there at most places, scholarships, programming, diversity initiatives. But South Dakota State University really stands apart since the announcement in 2016 of this Wokini Initiative. President Barry Dunn is leading that charge, and I spoke to him about the many different factors that can lead to that enrollment and retention discrepancy. And he says, pretty much all you can do is all you can do. And he says SDSU is in the business of higher education, so it's on them to make sure that happens for their students regardless of the other factors at play.
And there's certainly challenges with nutrition and obesity and drug abuse on those amongst those communities, but I can't fix that. What I can do is, what this university can do is help them get a degree or in higher education.
And as President Dunn told me, and as the Wokini Initiative demonstrates, the university can do that in a wide number of ways.
All right, so tell us, what exactly is the Wokini Initiative?
Well, Wokini is Lakota for new life or a new beginning. President Dunn told me we can't fix the past, but we can fix where we're going, and that's kind of where that idea comes from. The Wokini Initiative is campus-wide commitment to Native students, and it comes down to not just increasing their enrollment numbers, but bettering those retention rates. There are Wokini scholarships. Those scholarships require regular meetings with retention officers, for instance, to check in students are going to class, adjusting well. A dedicated space, SDSU broke ground in October on a multi-million dollar standalone American Indian Student Center, its own building in a central location on campus. Professional development for campus faculty and staff to educate on kind of that status and history of the Lakota, Dakota, Nakota people of this region. And also off-campus efforts, so greater outreach and increased research partnerships with tribal colleges and universities in the state.
So tell me a little bit more about President Dunn and sort of where this initiative came from for him.
Right, and this is very personal to him. It turns out President Dunn's mother was a member of the Rosebud Sioux tribe who pursued her college degree in the 1930s, and that instilled in him kind of that value of higher education. His family ranch is in Mission, which is on the Rosebud Reservation, And he tells me he's seen kind of firsthand the obstacles that many Native students from reservation communities have to overcome in order to pursue that higher education. And so when he took office as president of SDSU, he really wanted to make a difference.
So what does this add overall to South Dakota State that wasn't already in existence?
Right. There had been some efforts at SDSU. In short, this unifies those efforts, centralizes them, and makes it a priority across campus. Shanna Harming is the programming director for the Wokini Initiative, coming up on her first year anniversary in that position. She herself is a member of the Lower Brule Tribe, and she says before this initiative, there were grant-funded efforts that focused on Native students or faculty on an individual basis, making that their focus, but that meant there was a lack of structure and stability.
And so that's what the Wokini Initiative does. It brings the focus for all of our campus, as well as a consistent funding source, so that we can get away from the stop, go, recreate, stop, start again, stop. You know, that formula just is not successful.
And in Harming's role as the Wokini Initiative director, she really acts kind of as that point person for the campus communications and also those off-campus efforts and relationship building between the campus and those tribal communities.
All right, so where does the funding come from for an initiative like this?
This is really interesting to me. So it comes down to SDSU's status as a land-grant university. And so Abraham Lincoln in 1862 signed legislation that granted land to institutions as a funding basis to create colleges to look at ag and other programs for these new states. When South Dakota became a state, we received 160,000 or so acres of land to support the agricultural college. That same land had originally been promised to Native peoples under the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868. So today, SDSU receives revenue from the South Dakota Permanent Trust Fund and the 120,000 or so acres of land incorporated in that. And President Dunn is very well versed in this history.
One night I either woke up or had a dream or something that I put this together, that we could use the resources that land generates to help the young people, you know, who really are the heirs from whom the land was taken.
So, of course, there's also the role of seeking private donations to work through the SDSU Foundation to fund those scholarships in that new student center. For instance, they received a $4 million anonymous donation towards that new American Indian Student Center building. So between the private donations and also the land that SDSU still holds in trust to fund some of their operations that was taken from Native peoples is now going towards the success of Native students.
Wow. All right, this is a series. We're going to have more conversations about this. What's to cover next?
Well, next week we're going to go a little bit more in depth with some of both of the on- and off-campus efforts of the Wokini Initiative. We're going to hear from the retention officer working with the Wokini Scholars, a couple of those students, and also looking at the role of those partnerships with tribal colleges and the state universities.